like love. And what does that mean for us? Well, Paul explains us as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. Here is the definition of love. The cross. Think about the cross. The cross is not just a tragedy or a mistake. It was not just suffering. The cross was Jesus' choice. Out of love, he gave himself. He endured the shame, the nails, the pain. Why? Because he, in love, for all of us, offered himself as a sacrifice to God. That is very, very important. The cross was a sacrifice of love for us. It was an offering lifted to the Father. Like in the Old Testament, where sacrifices rose as a sweet aroma to God, Jesus' death was the ultimate fragrance. The most pleasing aroma. The most perfect, voluntarily loving sacrifice for you and for me. And so Christ is our model. Walk in love as Christ. He's pointing us to the same love of the cross. And the beautiful part of this passage is that his spirit, that spirit that lived in Christ, is the same spirit that is indwelling in you and in me. So this is not impossible. What Paul is asking us, what God is asking us, is not impossible. It's in your nature. It's in your new nature. You can imitate God and you can live like Christ lived, offering ourselves as a fragrance and as a sacrifice to God for the good of others. It's not in our own strength. Again, it's like asking a fish to fly like an eagle. But if I ask an eagle to fly, it makes sense. It's reasonable. And Paul says you can imitate God because you have the same spirit of Christ in you. Walk. And passages like we started last week in chapter 4, Pastor Douglas was preaching last Sunday, was telling us, so then we can speak the truth instead of lies. Therefore, we can control anger instead of exploding. Therefore, we can work hard with our own hands instead of stealing to bless others. The work doesn't benefit us, but bless others. That is what Christ-like love looks like in a daily life. This small, everyday decisions to be like Christ are not rule. They are in our new nature, a way to please God. But it's not cheap love. It's not easy. When we live this way, the world notices. When Christ's love fills a home or a church, you can smell it. The fragrance is patience, kindness, gentleness, forgiveness. But when sin fills a home or a church, you can smell that too. Stench of anger, bitterness, greed, lies, cruel words. Paul is calling us here, walk in love as Christ loves us. Offer your life to God just as Christ did. But now we move to the next verses where Paul is telling us, I know, and he's telling the Ephesians that many fake loves surrounded the church. And the same is true for us nowadays. So after showing us the fragrance of Christ, Paul warns us about the stench of fake love that only destroys. That is the opposite of love. And that leads us to the second point. Reject the fake love. Listen to what he says in verses 3 and 4, Ephesians chapter 3 to 4. But sexual immorality and all impurity and covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. 4 says, let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place. But instead, let there be thanksgiving. When you read that, it's like, oof. Why Paul is so strong in this part? That doesn't feel loving. Not even name these things among you. But the reason is because Paul, and of course God, who has inspired Paul, knows that fake loves always look attractive on the outside. There are going to be other loves that are going to pretend that are real love. But in the end, it smells like a garbage bag left too long in the kitchen. It fills the whole room with rot. And so in telling us these things, Paul is saying, I'm telling you this because I love you. And God is telling us these things because he says, I love you. And he starts with sexual immorality. This means using people instead of loving people. Today, this could look like cheating on your spouse or living together without marriage or treating intimacy as entertainment rather than commitment. And pornography is part of this. It is free pleasure, but comes at a terrible cost. Often behind it is abuse and suffering and slavery. But the world calls it freedom. The world calls it love. But here Paul is using a Greek word that is porneia, where pornography comes. Sexual immorality, which means living outside God's designed order for sex. That's the simple meaning of that word. Of course, sexual immorality promises pleasure, but the smell it leaves behind, it is shame and broken people. And the Word of God is telling us that is not love. Second, Paul names impurity. This is about what is hidden inside our thoughts, our desires, our fantasies that go against God's way. Even when no one sees, these thoughts shape our minds. And our thoughts, if we feed them, they grow and can lead to actions that hurt ourselves and others. So Paul is telling us here, it is not just actions that matters, but what lives in our minds and in our thoughts. Then Paul says, covetousness. And this is the greedy hunger that never feels satisfied. Not just about money, not just about the things that we crave, but also attention, praise, admiration. And you want more like, one more comment, or one more person to notice you. It is a craving that always takes and never gives and quietly controls our hearts. And that's why Paul calls it idolatry, because instead of worshiping God, we worship our own selves. And so here we can clearly see the progression that Paul is using. Sin touches everything in us. Our actions, sexual immorality, our thoughts, impurity, and our hearts. Covetousness, and its stench spreads everywhere. Making us take instead of give. Making us worship ourselves instead of worshiping God. But real love works the opposite way. It gives, it serves, it blesses. Love seeks God's glory. Love seeks building others instead of destroying. And one of the powerful ways we show what is in our heart, in our thoughts, in our minds, is through our words. That's why Paul continues in verses 4. At the first, you don't. I was struggling making the connection, all these things, and then talking about words. But notice he changed. Verse 4, let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead, let there be thanksgiving. Words are never neutral. They reveal what we are. filthy jokes, crude humor. Words that make sin look funny may sound harmless, but they carry the stench of sin and death. Words matter. But what is the response of the new creation? And Paul is just simple and plain. Paul says, thanksgiving. Instead, give thanks. The new creation way is thanksgiving. But this is more than polite words. It is a heart alive to God's goodness. This thanksgiving is not without a subject. It's directed to someone. And the one who Paul in the scripture is directing us is first to God. Because it turns our focus from I need, I want, and need focuses on Lord, you are enough. I can give you thanks for the little things that you have given me or for the big things that you are giving me, especially starting with Jesus. And notice how this works even in daily routines. When you start to be thinking all these dark thoughts in your minds and you are looking around and you are starting to feel like miserable, it's so easy starting to count the blessings and to give thanks for those blessings. That only thing to say, but Lord, thank you. Because yes, maybe I don't have a car, but I have two legs to walk. Maybe I don't have these, but you have given me this other thing. And that change, if you continue doing that exercise, it will completely change your mind, your heart, and your actions. So let there be thanksgiving. That is a mark of a new creation. And then finally, Paul reminds us that these things, imitating God and rejecting false loves, matters. You know, here he's saying you can choose to be a fragrance or you can choose to be a stench. And these two things leads you to somewhere. So the third point is, let's remember what is at stake in this passage. Notice what is at stake. Verse 5. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexual, immoral, or impure, or who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of this things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them. There are only two outcomes from our way of living. One is inheritance, life with Christ forever, the joy of being new creation, and the other is wrath, God's holy judgment against sin, the stench of fake love. And let me say this. here. Wrath is not God losing his temper. Wrath is his holy love acting against what destroys real love. If God did not hate what ruined his children, he will not be a loving father. If he doesn't tell us and limit, he will not be loving father. And so Paul says, don't be deceived with empty words. In these days, in the days of Paul, some people were teaching that God is tolerant, that sin doesn't matter, that you can use your body for whatever you want. And that is the same thing 2,000 and something years ago, and the same story repeated again in our days. Sin, your body doesn't matter what you do with your body. It's your life. It's your choice. God loves me no matter what. And Paul is like, there are just two outcomes. Paul, those are lies. Maybe they smell sweet on the outside, but inside is rotten. And at the end, Paul says, it will bring the wrath of God that will protect what is love. And so at the end of this verse, he says, do not be partner with them. Do not join their sin. Do not love of those things. Take them seriously. We don't call stench a fragrance, right? Instead, he's calling us to walk as new creation, as children of God. And since there are only two groups, let me finish talking to each group. First, those who are not yet in Christ. Paul is speaking so boldly here because God's love is bold. He's showing us what is wrong with the world, and he named it is sin. Look around. Sexual sin, dirty words, lies, greed. We all know that something is broken, but few name it, but the Bible is naming these things. Out of love. But at the same time, if you are not yet in Christ, the reason why Christ sacrificed his life was so then you do not need to receive the wrath of God. But to believe that sacrifice was in behalf of you, and to accept that beautiful truth that the innocent die for you and for me. When you accept that by faith through him, you can receive forgiveness. God will not see or smell your stench. So if you are not in Christ, if you don't have this new creation, today is the day. And for the second group, those who already are in Christ but are weary, we are tired. We notice that we failed once and failed twice. God wants you to know that you are still loved. You are His children. You are His son. You are His daughter. And He will not give up on you. That is love. So, He has promised that He will finish what He began. So if you are sitting tired today, you can ask the Lord, Lord, lift me up. I want to start walking again in love. Lord, through your Spirit, help me to reject the fake love. Help me, Lord, to start to spread the sweet aroma of Christ that is already in me. And you know what? God is going to come running to you. Like He did with the prodigal son. The world needs to start to notice the difference. The problem is that we are becoming like the world, so the smell is almost the same. But the aroma of Christ is different. And when we let it go, people will say, no, there is something different. And that is what the world needs. Let's pray. Lord, we are coming before you. Maybe tired, Lord. Maybe defeated, weary. But your word tells us, Lord, that those who trusting you, you will give us a strength and you will help us to fly like the eagles. Above all the stench around us. So we are asking you, Lord, that this morning to come and to lift us up and to strengthen our weary bones, our weary legs, our weary arms, our minds, and to help us through the power of the Holy Spirit to walk in love like Jesus did. And I pray, Lord, for those who need to believe this morning. Please, Lord, by your Spirit, open their eyes so then they will see Jesus as the only way to become above all the noise that we have, above all the stench that we are surrounded and to be a new creation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.